Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Has the job hunt worn you down? Application after application and radio silence? I know why you're here, and I can help you get there. A job offer, a job faster. You can now book me for $2 a minute for 30, 45, 60, or 90 minutes for a video chat interview preparation session. Don't need 45 minutes? Don't pay for it. Want to do 30 minutes now and maybe 30 minutes later once you progress? Let's do it. If you aren't getting responses to your application, we'll meet and rework your resume to get noticed. If you aren't passing job interviews, we'll work through a mock interview so you can put your best foot forward with winning responses that make a difference. I'm here to consult with you if you're in a unique situation and want input from someone that has seen it all and can help you succeed like I have so many others. It's super simple. You just go to jobinterviewexperience.com and click the $2 minute coaching button at the top of the page, select the amount of time you want to meet, and then you can look through my availability without having to pay. Pick a time and pay $2 a minute for 100% of my attention. Check out the testimonials while you're there from listeners to this podcast that I've worked with in just the last couple of weeks. It's blocked into 30, 45, 60 minutes and more. So we won't go over. You won't get charged any more than what you pay for at checkout. Remember that the faster you invest in yourself, the faster you land that dream job. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or follow the link in this episode's description. I'm excited to meet with you, help identify what's holding you back, and help you take control of your career today. Hey, tech nerds. Or maybe nerd is a little mean. Hey, tech people. We have one of your own on the show today. And if you aren't in a technical role, you're going to receive insight from a guy that understands the recruiting industry, what works for you, and also how to change it. Oshri Cohen taught himself to code at age 13 and is a leading technologist in numerous languages, frameworks, architectures, and technologies. He's also an ex-executive at multiple startups and founder of his own custom development shop. Oshri has packed success, failure, and market-leading innovation into a fascinating career and is here to help us learn how job seekers can navigate recruitment, insights into what you should pay attention to, and how to craft your approach strategically. Oshri, thanks for joining us on the Job Interview Experience.
Thank you for having me on.
Can you give us an overview of your career and what led you to where you are today?
What led me to becoming a fractional CTO is an utter disdain of how the technology career path has evolved. Title of the CTO is one of the most misunderstood roles out there, right? In a startup, a CTO could be just a fantastic developer. In a larger organization, a CTO is a multimillionaire with, and that's just their base comp, right? And they're flying around and meeting heads of state. It's at that level, right? There's quite a bit of a range. I have worked for many toxic founders in startups, in larger organizations, some really good ones, some just really good people. But unfortunately, the good to bad ratio is heavily skewed on the bad, right? It's heavily skewed on the bad. And I decided to go and start consulting instead. That's it. I got that consulting. The reason why I got consulting, is because I was director of technology for North America for this startup out of France. It was a fantastic job. You know, I got personally picked and recruited by the CTO. And when they acquired a company in Montreal, the CTO of that company said, I want this guy's job. And they just gave it to him. Because that was part of the acquisition deal. They want to acquire them, right? So,
yep.
You know, not really family. But yes, that's one of the reasons. But before that, you know, I rose through the ranks. I rose through the ranks from junior developer through to senior developer to architect and then business owner. This is not my first business, my second business. And so back and forth, and I knew how to climb the ladder rather quickly.
In my past life, I worked as an executive recruiter, and I recruited a number of CTOs, or tried to, for clients. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I ran into three types. One is highly technical, but terrible with people. They don't often want the CTO job. They're kind of told they have to do it. And that's desired because they understand maybe the product or the technology. Number two would be they're great with people, but probably weaker on the technical side. Maybe in their previous job, they didn't have their sleeves rolled up developing, coding the entire time. And then the third type was a good mix of both. And those folks always made a lot of money. And I would say that was less than 1% of the people I ever ran into where high level technical knowledge, but they also understood from the rest of the C-suite, from the CEO, the business operations, the goals, how to work with people, and the direction of the company. Because from what I've seen oftentimes, the technical team kind of has their dream and what they're working on and what their priorities are. And that's not always the company's goal, especially with timelines, naturally. When you work as a fractional CTO and you cross paths with folks like this, what types of folks are often, of those three, and maybe there's a fourth and fifth that I haven't named here, but what types of folks are succeeding and what types of folks are failing?
All of them succeed and fail. All of them succeed and fail because for the CTO, it's a chameleon role. It changes and it evolves. It changes and it evolves as the business evolves. So for startups, but all businesses have a few phases, right? I say phase one to phase four. For startup, passing a phase, like a phase in their business evolution, let's call it an evolutionary phase, could be as short as 6 months because they went from bootstrap to suddenly having $100 million in funding. That's a completely different organization suddenly, completely different, right? But for a traditional business, the phased evolution might be measured in years, 2, 3, 10, 20 years, right? So in a startup, phase one, you need a great engineer. That person needs to know their stuff. But there is no single human on the planet that knows everything. It doesn't exist, right? And so these guys and gals have the tendency to burn out rather quickly within about 2 years because there's so much on them, right? And there's no support system. This is why I created my consulting firm now, right? My fractional CTO firm. So phase one, fantastic engineers. Phase two, they have to now evolve to a manager from creative to management. Two different worlds, very boring, right? Maybe not. Maybe you like it, but you've been coding all day and now you're not coding all day. Now you're people managing and dealing with their personal problems, dealing with their career paths, right? All you want to do is put some headphones on, blast some music and code, right? So I have seen most CTOs leave at phase two. They just walk out. They're like, I can't, this is not for me anymore. I'm good, right? Phase three is a leader and phase four is a visionary. To be a leader is dramatically different than being a manager. A manager is a day-to-day. A leader is working with your managers to help them deliver from their people. Hmm. It's a completely different ballgame, right? The general doesn't care if the mess hall has food in it, right? The general cares that someone is in charge of it and that people are fed. That's what the general cares. And then the visionary is well beyond that. Most people don't even reach that level. And so if you hire the wrong CTO at the wrong phase or in a transitionary point of your company from one phase to another, you will fail. That CTO will fail. You will have spent a lot of money and very likely you would have also given a ton of equity when you shouldn't have because that person would not have materialized the value that you works. That's what I see. So everyone's good, but also everyone's bad. It all depends on the situation of the business itself. And that, so you have to ask that question. You have to ask those questions.
And that would be a failure of the recruiting department or probably more so the hiring managers to see the wrong thing, even in the right person at the wrong time. So hiring someone to be a leader when they should be a manager, or hiring someone with those strong technical skills that you mentioned, hiring that when they need a visionary or a leader. So sometimes people, they have the right skills and maybe they didn't even misrepresent themselves. The company wanted something out of them that they're not capable of or isn't their skill set.
Or they only needed a particular skill set for a particular time. So a lot of times when a CTO leaves, is either they got fired or they quit because it's too much for them. The engineering team is in shambles. Often it happens that the CTO leaves and everything's perfect. They just bring somebody else in and that's it, right? But if everything's perfect, they kind of don't need a CTO anymore. That's kind of the point. But more often than not, they're leaving a mess behind them, culture mess or engineering mess or technology mess or whatever it may be, right? And they need someone to clean it up. The new CTO you're hiring, the one who's going to be either a manager or a leader, may not be the right person for cleaning up the show. And that's temporary. That could be 6 months. It could take a year to clean up. And then that's it. So you need to find the right person at the right phase of your company, right?
Why do you think the technical recruiting industry has remained broken for so long?
Oh my gosh. Do you have 6 hours? Okay. The reason why it's broken is simply because of mistrust. The tech teams, the tech managers that need to hire people will go to HR because HR wants to have control over hiring. Makes sense? So they will give them every technical requirement under the sun, even if they don't need it, just in case. I need 5 years of this and 7 years of keyboard experience, and you need to have 10 years of using a mouse. I'm being facetious. But half the job descriptions, you read them, are you asking me if I can drink soup without drowning? Like, basically, is this what you're asking me right now in a job description as a requirement? Because they're making it idiot. Because they're assuming HR doesn't know anything about technology, and they would be right when HR takes over. So then HR gets this job description, rewrites it. Oh, no, we can't be asking for just 2 years of experience. Let's ask for 5, just in case. They start making their own decision. They post it. They get resumes, and they don't know how to read the resume. They don't know how to read between the lines of a resume, right? That's the key. They don't know how to read a LinkedIn profile for technology. HR, great if you're going to hire business people, administrators, accountants, you know, because those are regulated fields. Marketing, it's not a regulated field, but you go to school for marketing. It's very simple. It doesn't really evolve that much that fast. Technology, every 2 years, the whole bloody industry changes, right? And so they have no idea what they're talking about. And so what HR ends up looking at is keywords, which now leads to candidates writing what I call search engine optimized resumes with keywords so that they don't fall through the cracks, because you just can't read all resumes. It's just not possible. As much as you want to, you just can't, right? And that's because the job descriptions are so wide. They're so wide in terms of scope that you're going to get a lot of people. You have to really write it carefully. Now, but miraculously you do get selected because you hit all the right keywords, and there are tricks and tips and tricks to get through the ATS and whatnot, that you hit all the right keywords, they're going to do a screening call and they're going to start checkboxing requirements before sending them down to the hiring manager.
Yeah, they're going to paint by numbers. Do you have this many years? Do you have that many months? Instead of delving into
the reality is that in software development, if you have knowledge in technology X, and the company uses technology Y that's closely related, that's okay, because I know this is crazy. Humans can learn. Did you know that? They can Google and learn. They can pick up a video and learn. And so they're looking for all of these technologies. It could be 30 of them, right? This. Do you have this? No. Do you have this? Yes. But if you don't have yes on everything, you get disqualified immediately. While the hiring manager, had they met the individual, they would have said, you know what? You're smart. And that's what you really want to be hiring for. You want to be hiring for the brain, the mind. How does the mind solve problems? I'm going to throw a problem at you. Give me the wrong answer. When I interview, I throw a challenge at them, verbal. I'm like, design this for me. And it's okay if you get it wrong. I've hired plenty of people who got the answer completely wrong, but it's how you approach to the problem, because that you cannot train for, how you approach the problem. You are either born with it or you are not born with it. Straight to the point, right? So you've got all of these issues, right? And then you finally get into the hire to the hiring manager, right? Who now has to CYA to cover your ass, pardon my French, right? To CYA his selection. So they'll put him through either technical examinations, which don't work. They don't work, right? You've seen there's an entire industry on how to pass your technical interview. If there's an industry on how to pass a technical interview, the technical interview is the problem.
Said.
That's the problem. It's, you know, Facebook is free. LinkedIn is free because you're the product. That's what they're selling. They're selling you, right? And so you've got this whole situation which leads people to say, there's not enough developers in the industry. I can't find good talent. Yeah, no kidding, because you're filtering them out at the beginning.
Is there a solution to this?
Take technical hiring away from HR, first of all. It doesn't belong with HR. Even screening calls don't belong with HR, right? It has to be engineers interviewing engineers, or developers interviewing developers, I should say. Right. Yeah,
and that's a challenge from my perspective as a director of talent acquisition. And I do agree with you, but here's a challenge you have. So you're going to ask the engineers to sort through resumes, because in my experience, they're not probably going to want to, or there's 750 resumes that will come in 2 days. And so you're pulling that resource away from the dev team. So how do you get around that?
So let's solve the problem with volume. Yes, there's a lot of volume suddenly. If your job description is designed to catch a very wide net, guess what? You're going to catch a lot of fish. That's the reality, right? My job descriptions famously have 4, maybe 5 requirements, tops, maximum. You need to be able to do these things and solve these kinds of problems that are present in this company with this developer. Are you ready for that? If you are ready for that, excellent, right? Now, one trick is, because there's a lot of acronyms in, and feel free to use this one, it's fantastic, because there's a lot of acronyms that we use in technology, just hundreds of them, right? In between the technical requirements, I will put in some Pokemon names, right? The Pokemon names. And somewhere in there, I'm like, if you have actually caught that to some Pokemon names here, email this address with your resume. None of this quick apply.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Have you actually read? Oh, great. Excellent. Fantastic. Or you know what? LinkedIn me directly. Just contact me on LinkedIn directly. I'll accept your connection. No problem. Right? And I do this as a technical recruiter as well. And I've pushed my clients to do the same. Right? Filter through the BS, because most people will scan a job description in a few minutes and then just quick apply. Quick apply. Eh. But also don't make them fill up everything, their entire resume again. There's a give and a take between, you know?
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've also found that bringing engineers or software developers into interviews is an effective way to humanize the experience for the candidate. They likely aren't super excited to talk to the recruiter, but when they can speak with someone that they might be working with and, you know, speaks the same language as them, it also just helps connect them to the company. They know their team right away. And depending on the market, oftentimes developers, they have a lot of opportunities. They have more opportunities than the company does good candidates. So that is an attraction tool. If a company does it the way you're saying, it's also a tool to attract and endear people to one company. They say, hey, you know, we pay this engineer $85 an hour, and we're going to take that 1 hour, you know, we're going to take an hour for you and maybe 10 other people because we care this much about this project. We're not doing this also the easy way.
Recruiting fees.
Yeah, that's true. We're not doing this
so
the easy way.
Than recruiting fees, which I think are, and this is coming from a technical recruiter who gets paid recruiting fees, are way too high. This just doesn't make it. Nobody should get paid $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for a few hours of work. I'm sorry. It just, it doesn't work, right? I that's why I've created a model where it's a flat fee and that's it. It's boom. But that's a discussion for another day. So yes, so asking the developers to come in, even for the screening, important. Don't throw every resume under the sun. But resumes don't mean much. Let's be honest, a resume is 50% BS. It's a marketing tool. It's just to get through the door. After that, nobody really gives a damn anymore about your resume or your education or anything like that once you've impressed them. So what I do as well is I record the screening call. I record the screening call. I want to see how this person communicates with me, right? And are they sharp? Are they answering questions? Boom. Because the HR wouldn't be able to really, if they're checkboxing everything, what are they taking notes? But the person's passion will never come out in their notes. Maybe the first two or three interviews, the HR person is like, oh, this guy's amazing. The 15th interview, they're like, yeah, I need to pick up my kids in half an hour. So let's go, you know, and write something really quick, a really quick summary. But video helps a lot to humanize the candidate as well. They're a person, they're people.
Do you have a model for this that you shared with companies to help rework their process? A lot of times I think it's just things move fast. They need to hire someone quickly and no one is thinking about how to change the process. They're just figuring out how to get someone on a team by a deadline.
If you're hiring because you need right away, you've already done it completely wrong. That's the reality. You hire before you need, a little bit before. You have to expect this to happen. Also, you move job descriptions to engineering teams. They're the ones who write it. And HR has no say in it. They can add whatever their blah, blah, blah legal garbage if they want to CYA. But otherwise, there's nothing, they shouldn't be touching it. And hiring culture should be part of marketing, should be a marketing effort. Marketing should be pushing the team. Marketing should be pushing the engineering culture. You want people coming to you, right? You take a look at Spotify. I want to work for Spotify. I've tried working for Spotify because the way they've written their job descriptions makes so much sense. It's so clean and it's clearly marketing or a marketing focused HR individual who came up with this solution, right? Just knows that's how you attract really talented developers.
There's also a way, and I've done this with job descriptions in the past, and it is marketing. You take quotes from someone on the team and you put it in the job description. I like to put things that you'll like and won't like about the job. If there's something that's tough and maybe some people will thrive in it, but overall, it's not a huge benefit. You can say, hey, look, our office looks like crap, but we're changing the world, that kind of a thing. You know, yeah. We don't have the ping pong tables. We actually don't even have tables. We have folding tables right now. Things like that for the right people, they'll say, hey, that's exciting. I want to go on an adventure. For other people, they'll say, hey, look, I need a valet and I need a fancy lunch provided to me every day, so I'm not going to apply. Along with that, what do you think of pre-screening questions connected to the job applications? And so maybe technical questions. What do you think of that?
Not in the slightest. There's no... I can Google all these answers.
Yeah.
Technical knowledge in itself, I can Google all of it, right? So... And the developer can learn. And on top of that, if you're trying to recruit a senior enough individual, technical examinations are an insult. I've been doing this for 20 years. I have left interviews, literally walked
Absolutely.
Out of them. Back when I'm like, you're going to test. Have a good day.
You don't know me well enough to understand that I've been doing this for
15 years. You're insulting me by having me go through a technical examination. You want to sit down for 3 hours and we do a technical design on a whiteboard right now with your best engineers? Let's do it. We'll solve a problem together right now. But that's senior developers. Junior developers is a little bit hard because junior developers don't know anything. They're junior. So either you're insulting them or you're testing them unfairly because they don't know anything. They're straight out of school, right? And so what is the common theme? Problem solving. How do you communicate back to me a solution? That's the common theme, right? Because, and this is one of the tips, and I'm going to repeat this tip at the end, right? You, in tech, there's a lot of candidates that are, that have a knowledge that I can categorize as a mile wide, but an inch deep. They know just a little bit of a lot of things because it's really easy to pick up this information. I can sit down and listen to YouTube all day long and say, you know what? I have some pretty good AI development experience now. A little bit of coding, a little bit of this, and I play around and I'm like, yeah, I kind of know a little bit of everything, but I don't know it deep enough to actually produce something, right? What you want to be is a mile wide, a meter deep, just a little bit more than everybody else. You still need a mile wide because you know what? One technology doesn't build software. 30 technologies build software and products. There's so much out there that you need to learn. They just do not teach you this in school in any way, shape, or form. I don't think there are schools that teach you any of this, right? Maybe a boot camp, but even then. So it's really learned on the field or in the field.
So Ashi, let's walk over to the other side of the table for the job candidate. How do they prove themselves invaluable when applying for these tech positions?
They have to show, so for developers specifically, you have to show that you have been involved in a full cycle of development from analyzing some requirements, right? Writing the code, the architecture, the tests, the this, the getting it to production, right through from beginning to end. Because in most modern engineering teams, everything's been shifted left to the developers. The developer will see the task, will analyze it, get in touch with product, hey, I have a question, or get in touch with their EM, right? Develop, write the code, write tests, write this, write that, make changes to production, and then go in and push it to staging, right? All in 1 week. That's usually the flow, is 1 week of work to do this, right? And so, how can I say? And so they have to show all of that. And if they don't have it, they have to go and train themselves. There's a couple of Udemy classes for $20. Go for it. Listen to them. Wow, you just figured it out, right? That's the key. If you typecast yourself into one technology, I only do this, I only do React.js or whatever it is, right? You're just that developer. And so you're very limited to that. If you're going to typecast yourself, it's okay. Become an absolute world expert on this tech. Become the most fearsome individual on the planet when it comes to this technology. You better show it. So generalists get a lot more attention. Right? Specialists, not so much. Right? Not so much unless the company that is hiring really needs that one, that specialty. And sometimes, but it'll be one specialist to 20 generalists. That's usually what's going to happen.
What's interesting about what you mentioned on learning things and learning things quickly, and especially for technical people, it's not like they had to learn Mandarin in a week. Usually it's just some little things that is already in their purview. They just get a better grasp on it. An example would be, you know, you go to the car dealership and they'll want $120 to change your cabin air filter. Well, you know, on my car, I didn't know anything about cabin air filters. I don't know where they are, how to change it. I'm not a car expert. I can watch a 3-minute YouTube video. You push this button, you do this, you open it up and you're done. And all of a sudden, I understand it fully how to change this. It looks like this expertise that you need to go to, say, auto trade school to understand. Some things, obviously, if you're fresh out of high school and they want you to understand a technical language, you're not going to learn that overnight unless you're incredibly gifted. All this to say, one of the things I talk about is, say you do an interview and you learn about a new requirement and you have no skill there. One of the things I encourage listeners to do is tell the company in a follow-up to the interview, instead of saying, hey, it was nice to meet all of you, really enjoyed talking to you, hope I get to know you. follow up and say, hey, I've enrolled in this course to learn this one weak spot that I have that I know I didn't know about. I've enrolled in this. It looks like it's going to take about 8 hours, and I plan to have this completed by next week. Either way, I hope to speak with you again. You can even use this, and what that does for an employer, and I don't know this as well in technical positions and other positions. If you're honest and you say this, it shows that you can recognize your weaknesses, but you are also a problem solver. I found the solution to this little thing that I don't have on my resume. It's a video, it's a course. For little things, to freshen up on something, you can say, hey, I found a solution. I'm gonna go do this with these people, or watch this video, or get certified and whatever it is. And then you've shown them, hey, look, I'm proactive. I'll get things done to make things happen for your team. That's one way to approach it. Or you don't have to tell them at all, and you can just figure it out beforehand. But sometimes we learn, right? Or maybe the job description was posted 3 months ago, and in that time, the dev team has found that they have a new need, and that comes up in the interview. And they say, hey, this isn't on the job description, but what we really need is someone who does this. You say, hey, I'll go get it done. I'll fix it. For candidates that see a really bad recruiting process, and maybe they understand a lot of the things you're saying, and they know they should be speaking with engineers, and they are talking to the recruiter, and they're saying, this recruiter isn't listening, and they're not understanding. Is there anything a job seeker can do to be proactive, to break through the noise, and get their skills or message to the right people?
Shit out of luck. That's it. You're out of luck. Because if the engineers are not involved from the get-go, it's because they don't want to be involved, or they're not allowed to be involved, either one. And so, yeah, you know what? I tried that. I tried going directly to the people, and I'm like, and I've lost out on opportunities. Oh, you broke the rules. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for that one. That was useful. There is nothing that you can do. Nothing at all. If an HR company is hiring a recruiter who is not technical, who is not an ex-developer, it's not enough to know acronyms. Anyone can Google an acronym on ChatGPT and get an explanation, right? I just said Google on ChatGPT. That's the world we're in right now. But anyone can Google an acronym and get an understanding of it. But only a software developer who's worked in it can draw parallels between technologies. Because really, at the end of the day, do I care if you have Node.js, Golang, Python, or whatever technology? In some cases, kind of. But I really care if you have backend experience. Do you know how to write backend systems? Because at the end, everything else is just a different set of symbols, and you can pick them up fairly quickly. I'll give you an example. I was hired by a startup. I didn't have any of the technical requirements, zero technical requirements. If anything, I was probably the worst person that they could hire at that time. But I dazzled them, because in the technical interview, it was a solution design question, and I can design solutions rather quickly. I got the job. They said, you're going to be coding in this language and this language. You're going to be using these systems, blah, blah, blah. I knew none of them. Do you know how long it took me to pick them up? Brand new systems that I've never touched in my life. 2 weeks. It doesn't take very long. I see other code that people are doing. Okay, this is how you wrote it. I was slow at the beginning. Towards the end of my tenure there, I was a principal. I was one of their best. Why? Because I came in with the base knowledge, which it's, can you walk? Yes. If you can walk, probably you can run.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're asking for everyone to run a marathon, I'm sorry, buddy. You're not going to find many people that can do that. But most people can run. Or most people can train themselves to.
Yeah. I think a lot of that, those are natural gifts too. It's like a musician. If someone's a very gifted pianist, they might have only played classical. But if you sit them down with a jazz trio, they'll know how to start joining in and improvising.
Yes.
You don't have to have played jazz piano for 20 years to be able to do those things. I think people misunderstand if they have those gifts, if they're mathematical, if they're technical, if even they're creative in software development. There aren't many limitations on how you can evolve or what you can learn. Maybe your assumptions are one thing, and some people have different gifts and ability to learn than others, but what I've seen in recruiting folks is the ones that are proactive like you. You've seen the people, they've written one language for 20 years, right? They have a job with the government or whatever, and asking them to learn something new, you know, you'd think you'd ask them to climb the top of Mount Everest. Yeah. But the people that are proactive or are willing to be proactive listening to this and hearing what you're saying, if you take the time to do that, it opens so many doors and you create so many opportunities for yourself, especially like you said, languages from yesterday, you know, are already going extinct today. I mean, that's how, or maybe that's an exaggeration, but that's how quickly things move. I want to ask, have you conducted any job interviews with a technical candidate that completely stood out and still remains with you today, good or bad? And what happened there to cause that?
Why? Oh, a handful of people have been like that. I hired once a junior developer. I've never met them. It was on the phone and I hired them on the spot because they showed that they were an atypical individual, grabbed life by the horns. They were serious. They wanted the job and they were ready to work hard for it. Right. But my case is very different because I'm willing to coach people. I love coaching people a lot. I really like leveling up my team, right? But that's just my preference, right? I'm still in touch with this individual because he dazzled me and he's rising up in his career like it's nobody's business, right? Faster than most people. He's getting a promotion every year and a half to 2 years because he's putting in the work. He's trying hard and he's not taking it for granted, right? Sometimes it's not about how beautiful your resume is, right? It's not about just it's your mindset. It's who you are as a person, right? That's the thing. It's a difficult thing, but that's who we're hiring. We're hiring the mind. We are not hiring. Technical hiring in the technology field almost feels like you're ordering a sandwich, right? And it really shouldn't be because you can't really order a human like you order a sandwich. That's kind of the problem.
For folks tuning in, do you have any advice for a candidate that right now, technical candidate applying for jobs, it's a bit of a tough job market. How should they get two interviews, one with a Fortune 500 company and one with a startup? How should they engage differently between the startup and the Fortune 500 company to stand out to each in their technology departments?
So those are two polar opposite cultures, right? The Fortune 500 company wants entrepreneurial, creative individuals, but that's a lie. They don't want anyone who thinks outside the box. They want someone who is an expert in a specific area, and that's it. If you're too much of a generalist, you're going to lose. That's the reality. Oh, they're hiring you for this technology? You better just talk about this technology and talk about a little bit more. Hey, by the way, I also have that. But that's as far as it goes, right? If they were interested in that, they would have asked. Because they have a particular seat and a particular profile to fit into. So because it's a machine, but it's not a well-oiled machine, right? Startups, on the other hand, you want to show your range, how your depths of knowledge, how far does it go, your creativity, your enthusiasm. Nobody wants a dry person on their engineering team, right? At least not in a startup. We need dynamic. We need energy, right? You want to show that, but don't look overexcited because that'll just look fake. That's the reality. So if you are a deeply creative individual, don't forget about the Fortune 500s. Just literally nix them out. They're not worth your time. They're not worth your time. That's it, right? Startups is your area, and there's plenty of startups that are hiring all the time, right? And they're living and dying and whatnot. But yeah, that's you have to be two different people. If you're a creative, you're going to be very sad in a Fortune 500. I'm a creative. I'm a solution designer. I'm an entrepreneur at mine. I internalized the business. And so I worked at a Fortune 500 once and I had panic attacks because I was I thought it was the end of my career. I quit like within 3 months. I couldn't. I just couldn't handle the being so stifled as a developer years ago.
What words of wisdom or motivation do you have for job seekers before we sign off today?
I have two words of wisdom. One I already mentioned. Don't be a mile wide, an inch deep. Be a mile wide, a meter deep. Go into every technology that you've touched, go a little bit deeper. Just know a little bit more. Do something with it, right? Create something with it. Having a GitHub profile and all of that doesn't really help. Trust me, nobody's sitting down looking at your GitHub, at your fake GitHub profile, right? Unless you've actually contributed in an open source project that was validated by others, you have no say in it, right? It's a useless concept. So there's that. The second one is there's a lot more bad companies than there are good companies. That's the reality. And even the good companies will make a mistake, right? Because there's a lot of candidates out there. So watch the readability of your resume, because the startups won't be using an ATS. They'll be reading they'll be getting the email and they'll be reading your resume. Make sure it's really easy to read. Really pay attention to the interviewer experience of your resume. That matters, because you know what? At 5 o'clock on a Friday, if I get a resume and it's badly formatted, I'm like, oh, forget it. Next. I'm like, I've got 60 others. You're not even worth my time now, right? It takes about 30 seconds to scan a resume. Make sure that you deliver the right information in 15 seconds, if not 5 seconds. Straight to the point, don't over-embellish. We can smell bullshit. Like, at some point, no, something doesn't make sense here. You know, that's it.
Ashri, thanks for sharing your insight and experience with us. Great to have a technical expert on the podcast as well. I know we have a lot of listeners that align with what you do, so really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.